James chapter 5, and this is going through a series of finding happiness, and as we've considered already, it's pretty well everyone is in the pursuit of happiness. A lot of times we look for it in the wrong places, what we think will bring us happiness often leads to misery, and we see that the devil is hard at work to try to deceive us because he doesn't want us to find true happiness in life. And so when we find that what we thought would bring happiness did not, then we have to start to contemplate that perhaps the things that we assumed would not bring happiness will. And we've really kind of examined that over the last several weeks of just how when we follow God's word, we follow his wisdom, we have faith and trust in him, and we honor him, we fear him, that we find happiness. And so we've gone through all the different verses in Proverbs that speak of happiness. We just want to conclude this series with this message tonight from James chapter 5, verses 10 and 11, where it says, "Take, my brethren, the prophets who have spoken the name of the Lord, for an example of suffering, affliction, of patience. Behold, we count them happy which endure. You have heard of the patience of Job, and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy." And so that's what we want to look at tonight, that part of that phrase, verse 11, count them happy which endure. And so we want to consider the thought of finding happiness in endurance. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your word once again. And thank you for the truth that teaches that many times that we would not find it on our own. A lot of times that it kind of goes against what we might expect, but when we really meditate on it, we realize how true it is and how vital it is that we heed your word and apply it to our lives. So Lord, we just pray you would help us in this, that we would understand the importance of endurance and how it is key to our happiness. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. And so we see this thought where it says, we count them happy which endure. To endure, we can define to endure as to last, to remain, to abide, to bear with patience without sinking under the pressure, to bear bravely and calmly. And you think of it, it's used in various different ways where you think you have races of endurance where you can have just a race that's a simple sprint, and that's usually the one where people try to look at, well, who is the fastest man in the world? They always go from the sprint, that's how you, the 100 meter dash. But we think of it that there's many other events where it's, you think of like a marathon, where it's something where it's 26 miles. The first fellow to do that was, I think it was Pheidippides, if I remember correct. I can't remember. But he was a messenger, and was at the Battle of Marathon back in the days of ancient Greece. And so he ran the 26 miles to announce, "Rejoice, we conquer," and then he fell down dead. And ever since then, we have marathons, where people run those 26 miles, and we think of someone that's able to do that's a real endurance race where it pushes you to your limits, and it is not something that is easy to do. It's something that people often spend years preparing for, to be able to run it successfully. And so we want to understand that God calls us to endurance, and we want to understand the truth that we will find happiness when we learn to endure. And there's various examples of endurance. We see it says, "Take my brethren the prophets who have spoken the name of the Lord," for example, of suffering, affliction, and of patience. And you think of so many of them that the Lord sent again and again to his people to tell them the truth, to warn them of what was to come. And so often they were mistreated and ignored. I think one that we can really see with this is Jeremiah. He was one of the last of the prophets before the invasion of the Babylonians came and the nation itself was taken to captivity, that he warned them and they wouldn't listen. And it came to pass exactly as he said that it would. But we see that they endured a lot, that many of them were persecuted and slain. People didn't want to hear what they had to say. They were thrown in prison or silenced. But yet they endured. They knew they had a message, and they continued to share it because they knew it's what people needed to hear. That if they, what they had to say was their nation's only hope, they had to let them know so that they had the opportunity to turn from the wrong way and repent and come back to the Lord so he would provide deliverance. We think of that. We also see in verse 11 how it talks about the patience of Job, and we recognize he was an example of endurance. And what he endured, great sorrow, great loss, great pain, and we see with that it says of him that all this happened, but in it all he didn't sin or charge God foolishly. His wife said, "Do you still retain your integrity? Curse God and die." And he says, "No, you're talking like one of the foolish women talks, that shall we receive good at the hand of the Lord, shall we not receive evil?" And he maintained his integrity. He said, "Though he slay me, yet will I trust him." And so we see that he endured that terrible suffering, but yet was faithful. We think of Paul, that he speaks of what he endured. We see in 2 Timothy chapter 2, in verse number 10, says, "Therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory." And 2 Timothy 3 and verse 11 says, "Persecutions, afflictions which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured, for out of them all the Lord delivered me." And so we see that he went through a lot, and as we read of his story of just how many different trials and afflictions he faced, but he endured, and he was faithful. He fought a good fight. At the end of life, he said, "He fought a good fight. I finished my course. I kept the faith." And so he endured. He didn't allow these things. Because I know there is another place. I forget where it was, but I think it was in Acts. But he says, "But none of these things move me. Neither do I count my life dear unto myself, that I may finish my course with joy." And so he was committed to seeing things through. We see also in the Old Testament of Moses, we read of him in Hebrews chapter 11, of how by faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king. And it says, "For he endured as seeing him who is invisible," that he stayed true and served the Lord. And so we see that, and of course, the greatest example of all is the Lord Jesus. And we see that in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, it says, "Look into Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God." And in verse 3, it speaks of how he endured such contradiction of sinners against himself. And we're to consider that so that we do not be weary and faint in our minds as well. And so we see that there is an example, many examples of endurance. And we are called to follow that example. But the question is, well, what are we called upon to endure? And this is kind of the thing that sometimes we get this wrong thinking that if we're Christian, if we follow the Lord, that life is going to be good, there's not going to be any problems, I'm never going to suffer adversity. And many people buy into that thinking, but we really recognize it's not biblical. That we find that it, we see in Job, man is born in trouble, the sparks fly upward. That we see all that will of godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. We see how Paul spoke to the new believers. He said, ye shall through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. And so we want to understand there's a lot that we are called upon to endure. 2 Timothy, we see in here how the idea of suffering affliction is spoken of, and we see that in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 5 as well, where Paul tells Timothy, watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. And so what are afflictions? An affliction is a state of pain, distress, or grief. And so examples of affliction could be sickness, it could be loss, it could be calamity, it could be adversity, it could as well be persecution. So there's much encompassed by that word affliction. Anything that puts us in a place of pain, distress, or grief. And so we're to endure afflictions. We see as well in 2 Timothy 2 verse 3, it says, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. And so hardness, we want to understand to be something that's difficult to be executed or accomplished. That's something that is a great challenge of the body and the mind, where it takes severe labor and trials and suffering in order to see things come to fruition. That you really kind of compare it as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. It's kind of the thing is that you think in throughout history when there's campaigns to be fought, that it's not going to be easy. That just one example in more recent history is you think of D-Day and all that the preparation that went into that and the intense fighting that occurred in order to secure a beachhead and then move out from that. And all of that took of the determined fight until finally the forces of Nazi Germany were defeated. That was something that was not easy. There was great loss to accomplish that, but it was a necessary thing. And so we see that's the idea of hardness, that sometimes there's battles to be fought, and it's not going to be just some quick thing. That so often that's what we kind of have in our mindset, that we have different sports events where they only last for 2 or 3 hours and we think, well, it's some intense fight. But really, it's not even, it's in really, as time progresses, you recognize that it's just a game. It's not as important as many of conflicts have been in history. And we recognize we fight spiritual battles. And so there's great intensity in them that we're called upon to fight. And it isn't something where a lot of times we can just ask for a timeout or an intermission between things, that sometimes it just hits us over and over and over again. And so we have to endure that. We see as well, it speaks of in 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 14. It says, now exhort you, brethren, warn them. Oops, that's not right. Not sure what that. Sorry about that. I seem to have got the wrong. But what I was looking at is that we're to endure tribulation, but I'm not sure where that's from. The tribulation is the idea of distress of life. And so we're going to experience that in life. As well, we see that James chapter 1, verse 12, that it says, "Blessed is the man that endureth temptation." So there's the expectation that we're going to have to endure temptation, where it's basically an enticement to evil. And the devil is the tempter. He's very good at what he does, and he's always trying to lead us astray. We think of how he tempted Jesus in the wilderness, and as Jesus defeated him, we see he departed, but it says he departed for a season. And we find that we face temptation, and a lot of times it comes again and again, and he's just hoping that we'll have a weak moment where we'll give in. And so we have to endure that. It says in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 19 that we have to endure grief, suffering wrongfully. And that's what happens, that grief is just pain of mind, cause of sorrow, where we're wrongfully treated, we experience injustice, that we're supposed to endure that. And as well, we see too, in Hebrews chapter 12, it talks about how we are to recognize that there's times where God chastens us, and so we're to endure the chastening of the Lord. Chastening is the idea of God giving us correction to steer us back into the right path. And we're not to react against that, we're to accept it and deal with it properly. And so with all these things of affliction and hardness and suffering and temptation and tribulation, grief and chastening, that our tendency would be to assume if any of these things are in our life, then that makes it certain that we cannot be happy. And that's what the devil wants us to think, is that because this happened, that just ruined my whole day, and that's unfortunate, because sometimes we think we can have a very good day in many other ways, experience many blessings, but then we have when something goes wrong and we're upset. And really, you think in terms of the level of what we have to deal with sometimes compared to what Christians of the past have dealt with, and even other Christians in other places of the world where they don't enjoy the freedoms that we enjoy, that so little sometimes sets us off and puts us in a bad mood. And we look at this, some small thing, and it's just, it's the end of our world, where for many people in times past in other countries, that it's just a regular experience for them every day of their life, and things that we take for granted are not part of their lives. And so we want to understand is that this whole idea that if we have circumstances that aren't enjoyable, that are challenging, that are difficult, that this assumption we cannot be happy is incorrect. But we want to understand is that these are going to happen in life, that it's part of life. God lays it out to us that we're going to have to go through these things. And so what the key is our attitude in facing them. And the truth that we see here in James chapter 5 is that we will experience happiness if we learn to endure them, where we can bear them without patience, that we can bear them bravely and calmly without complaining, without murmuring, have a right attitude, that we'll be happy if we learn to endure. And it's kind of the truth that we want to learn how. And so this is something that, of course, these situations challenge us. And we question, well, how can I, if I'm going to be happy if I endure, I don't see how I can endure this. I don't see how I can get through this. And we want to understand that the Bible shows us how we can endure. And so I just want to give a few thoughts with that. That first off is that we want to understand the importance of endurance and the truth that in life, in so many different areas, we have to go through the rough, get through the rough stuff to get to the good stuff. That's just the way that it is. Galatians 6 verse 9, it says, be not weary in well-doing, for in due season ye shall reap if you faint not. That we understand that, and we're in an agricultural community, we understand the work that goes into preparing the soil, planting the seed, if you have a garden, weeding it, watering it, if you have a crop, usually spraying it for weeds and other things. And then there's the work of harvest, where you're working, trying to get the crop in, dealing with inclement weather, dealing with machinery that's breaking down, but you're trying to get through it all. But you recognize that you get through all of that, and then you have a harvest that you can enjoy. And that's what we see in Galatians 6 verse 9, where it's talking really about sowing to the Spirit, so that we can reap life everlasting. And we don't want to be weary in well-doing, because we shall reap if we faint not. That there's a necessity for us to carry on and to not give up. We see as well a similar thought given in John chapter 16 by the Lord Jesus, where he spoke of to his disciples. In verse 20, verily, verily, I say to you that ye shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice, and ye shall be sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be turned into joy. A woman, when she is in travail, hath sorrow because her hour is come, but as soon as she is delivered of the child, she remembereth no more the anguish for joy that a man is born into the world. That I know for having been there at the delivery of all eight of my children, it's not a pleasant experience. For any mother to give birth, that there's a lot of pain involved. But it's the thing is that when you get through all that and you have this beautiful baby that you can hold, that it's like that pain is not really thought about anymore. And that's with so many things in life that we want to realize that we go through the pain now, but then we find we have something else on the other end of it that makes it worthwhile. And so we want to learn to endure the rough stuff so that we can get to the good stuff. And we really kind of see that the example that Jesus gave. It says of him in Hebrews 12 verse 2 that who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame. And it was a thing that he went through tremendous suffering, and we just think of how great his suffering was. All of it was unjust, but we see of just how he was betrayed by one of his disciples, abandoned by the rest, how he was falsely accused, cruelly treated. There was no sense of justice in his trial, and he was just beaten and bloodied and humiliated and crucified and just endured such intense suffering. But we understand he did that all for the joy that was set before him, because he knew that by going through this, he would provide salvation for us all. And he knew that it was the only way for it to happen. And because of his great love for us, because he knew what his death would bring, that he was willing to do that for us. And so it's the same that he wants to teach us, that we want to learn from his example, that we can go through some rough stuff when we know that it's going to produce something good. We can endure a great, and that's what the idea that, verse 3, for consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. That if he was willing to do that, then we should be able to endure people mistreating us and things. If we can still be a good testimony in the face of mocking and scorn and mistreatment, if it means that someone may come to know the Lord because we've been faithful, then that's going to be worth it. And so we really want to understand that there's always something that comes as a result of us enduring. And the devil wants us to quit sooner so that we never see that we never see the rewards of our labor. And it's unfortunate that many do that they give up just when they could have had a breakthrough. And it's very unfortunate. But as well, we want to understand that as we learn to endure, it produces something within us. And we recognize Romans 8:28 says, all things work together for good to them that love God, to them are the called according to his purpose. That God allows things into our lives to happen for a reason. And if we have the right attitude, if we're choosing to love Jesus more than ourselves, then it will produce good in us. We see that in James chapter 1, where he said, verse 2, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. That he says it's a good thing. It's going to produce something good in you. And so count it joy when you experience that. A similar thought is given in Romans chapter 5. Verse 3, it says, and not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost which is given unto us. That we really want to understand that as we go through different things, different trials, that it is a refinement process for us. We see what it speaks of in Hebrews 12:11 about God's chastening upon us. It says, now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. That if we respond to his chastening, we correct our ways, we get back on track, that it yields good fruit in our lives. And so we want to see that we endure so that we can see the fruit of our labors. We endure so that God can do a necessary work in us to transform us into Christ-likeness. And so we need to learn to endure. And it comes as we develop patience and as we seek the Lord's help in giving us patience. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 36, it says, for ye have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. And so patience is a calm temper, that we bear things without murmuring. That's the idea of having a perseverance and a long suffering through challenges, that we continue on. James 5, verse 7, 8, it says, be patient therefore, brethren, in the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husband waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it until he receive the early and the latter rain. Be ye also patient, establish your heart, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. That we have to have patience. We have to hang on, hang in, just trust that it's going to be worth it. And I think what really is the key to enable us to endure is to always learn not to just focus on what we're going through right now. It's to always look beyond. That we think of Moses, that it says that he endured seeing him who is invisible. That he looked to God, he was focused on pleasing God in what he was doing, being faithful to him. And so as we see him who is invisible, as we focus on what God wants us to do, that helps us to endure. We know that he's there to help us, that we're not alone, that he's there to strengthen us through it. That as well, too, that we look beyond to the results that will be achieved. We think of how Jesus, that because he had that joy set before him of providing a way of salvation for all mankind, that enabled him to endure the cross and all its suffering. And so it's the same, that we look at what will be accomplished in our lives and the lives of others by enduring. And that keeps us going, that we know it is going to be worth it all, going to hang on, and God's going to do something great as a result. But then as well, and this is kind of what we talked about a bit this in the message this morning, is that we look beyond to eternity. And that's, you think of with all the suffering that Paul experienced in his life, but yet he had the perspective, he says, for this cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For light affliction is but for a moment, worth for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. For I look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. And so they're able to not faint, even though they're getting beaten down, their bodies were getting worn out by all they were dealing with, that inside they were being renewed, they're becoming stronger Christians each day. It was working in them. Exceeding an eternal weight of glory, and so they were focused on the eternal. And we know that one day that all these things of tribulation and affliction and hardness and trials and temptation and chastening, one day that's all going to be gone. That we read this morning of how as eternity dawns, that there's going to be no more death or sorrow or crying or any more pain. That all of that is going to just be a memory. It's going to pass away. It's going to make all things new. And so as we endure the trial, the affliction now, we always thought that I will endure this for as long as I need to, knowing that it is going to be worth it, knowing that this isn't forever, and knowing that as I do so, that I will be honoring and pleasing to the Lord. And we see that promise that God gives in James chapter 1 verse 12, blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. And so that's the thing, is that as we carry through, that as we get to the end of life, that we will be happy, that the Lord will honor us for our endurance, and will stand at the end of time with the crown on our head, which of course we'll cast at his feet, but that we'll know that it was worth hanging on, worth hanging in. And so we find happiness in endurance. Let's pray. Dear Holy Father, we just thank you for your word and the challenge it is to us, the hope it gives us, and we just pray you would help us to learn to endure whatever trials we face. You know, this time dealing with coronavirus has been kind of wearing us down a bit, and we just pray you would help us to endure and be faithful and do your work and do your will. Just pray you dismiss us with your blessing tonight, and just guide us through the week to come, and help us to bear up with the challenges that we face with a good attitude, so that you might be honored and glorified in our lives. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen.